My name is Sabine Gromer, and you are listening to Magnolia Tree's podcast, Inspiring Brave Leaders. We leverage our network of inspiring individuals from all walks of life to learn from their experiences with leadership. We aim to spark thinking on ethics and leadership, one podcast episode at a time. Everyone, thank you for joining us in today's episode of Magnolia Tree's Inspiring Brave Leaders podcast. I'm really excited because this is the biggest crowd we've ever had in a podcast. There is three interviewees, three podcast partners, and myself, Sabine Gromer, the founder of Magnolia Tree. And today I'm joined by pupils and a teacher from Wetherby Senior, a school in London that we have been working with over the past year and a half on an ethical leadership and designing your life program. And we called it Designing Your Ethical Life as a Leader. And I'm really excited that all three of you are here. Very welcome.
Thank you very much.
So who are the three guests? I'm going to ask each of you to introduce yourself and to talk a little bit about you and anything you would like to share, maybe anything about your hobbies or what you enjoy doing. And I'm just going to go around. I think maybe I will start with you, Zeynep. So if you could just introduce yourself, your name, a bit about your backstory.
Sure. Thank you, Sabina. Thanks for having us. I'm Zeynep Holmes. I've been with Wetherby Senior since 2019. And I haven't been in teaching for that long. So I switched from banking to teaching in 2018. So this is literally the second teaching job I have. I spent 22 years in banking and finance in various roles, and the last 10 years were in an executive role in a large multinational organization. And towards the end of that career, I realized what I really like doing is working with young people, which led me to switch to teaching, and particularly secondary school teaching, because I think I remember from my own life that was the time when I was actually most open to new experiences, most open to new learning. So I wanted to work with young people, so I came to teaching and joined Wetherby in 2019, where I have been since. And currently I'm the head of economics and business, and also head of careers in the school. And I have known the gentlemen on the call since they were 13, so it's for them, it's a long, long time. For me, not so much. I'm much older.
Thank you so much. And Dana, with you, we have the second first on this podcast, because it's the first time a guest came back for a second time. There is a podcast in which you talk about your journey and your transition. I really recommend that you listen to it. It's one of our most listened to episodes, actually.
And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, Zeynep?
Thank you, Augustine. Hello. Thank you for inviting me. I'm Zeynep Holmes. And towards the end of these 20 years, I decided that I actually want to go after what I really care about, which is working with young people and developing them into the next generation of leaders. So here I am in a secondary school teaching boys A-level economics.
Thank you so much for coming back. I'm going to go in alphabetical order. Is that okay? So that means I will go first to you, Andreas. If you could just say a couple of words about you, introduce yourself with your name, that would be great.
Hi, I'm Andreas. Andreas Mielers. I'm 17 years old now. I've been at Wetherby since year seven. And I've known both Paul and Miss Holmes since year nine, pretty much it. I'm going off to uni in a few months, so preparing for that.
That's a very exciting time. What do you want to study at uni?
Politics and economics.
All right. Okay. So I'm wondering, Zeynep, if you inspired that. Politics and economics.
You have to ask him.
Oh, yeah. Ever since year nine, Miss Holmes has always been banging on to us about finance.
Well, that sounds, this is a great time to study both politics and economics, I think. Thank you so much for sharing, Andreas, and thank you for joining us in
thank
this
you
podcast. And Paul, what about you?
Hi, so I'm Paul. I joined Weatherby in 2019 in year nine, same year as Miss Holmes, I think, in my final year of school, nearly off school in 10 weeks, I think, to do my A-levels. And similar to Andreas, I've applied to university. I didn't get dragged down the economics route, but I've gone down data science route, which is very similar to computer science.
Data science, that's also highly relevant and quite a new field. Which university offers that, actually? Where are you going to study?
So I've applied to a range of universities. I applied to McGill in Canada, which I received an offer.
Cool.
IE Bocconi, LSE, UCL, Imperial, Leeds and Exeter. Some I've heard back from, some I haven't. And I'm excited. Hopefully over the next 6 weeks, I can get all my offers in and then I'll make up my mind.
I will keep my fingers crossed for you, should cross them like this, that it works out and that you get the offers from your top schools. Of course, I'm not going to ask you in this podcast about what your top pick is. Don't want to get you into trouble, but I'm really going to keep my fingers crossed for you.
Thank you very much.
So let's just go back in time a little bit, Zeynep. You and I, we have been working together in the finance industry. We built a friendship. And one day we started to talk about your transition and my transition, yours into teaching, mine into coaching and consulting, and creating my own company. And then you had an idea. So what sparked the idea for an offer that is quite unique, I would say, in which you bring together students mostly in their free time to learn about ethics and leadership in a very experience-based and different way? So what sparked the idea, and what is the underlying purpose maybe behind it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you may remember, Sabina, when we were having our lunches and dinners and coffees, we often talked about how we got where we got to and the people we met on the way, and how we were actually never explicitly taught how to lead. I thought that was fascinating, because I went to high school, I went to uni, I went to work afterwards. I was a junior analyst in a bank, then I was a middle manager, then I was a senior executive, and nobody ever taught me how to manage or to lead people. Yes, of course, I learned a lot from watching people I regarded highly as good leaders. There are some courses in university that talk about how to do things like workflow management and operations and so on. But there is almost nothing out there that speaks to what makes a good, inspiring leader and how can you achieve the business goals without sacrificing ethics on the way, without hurting people unnecessarily and so on. When you started your company and started talking about how you advise companies on change, which is a very unsettling time, and how you meet leaders who had the same problem as I did and were struggling, wanted to do the right thing, I had the idea that why don't we use our experience to try to teach this to people who are at an age where they will learn it most easily. And I know that my students don't lead like that yet, but they do lead. I mean, everyone's part of a sports team, everyone's part of a club of some sort, everyone has friends, they are part of various groups. Andreas and Paul are in the prefect team in the school. Paul is our head boy. So there are lots of leadership opportunities. And
congratulations, Paul, you got it. That's
thank
fantastic.
You very much.
Oh, that is thank amazing you very news. Much. What a great achievement. Really, that makes me very happy. Because the last time everyone that Paul and I, we were talking about, that was, I think, when you just decided to for the nomination, I believe. So this has been a while ago. So congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a while since, but it's cool that I got it. So thank you very much.
Sorry,
and he's doing a great job, if I may say so. So, and I think, and we will hear more from the boys in a little bit, but I think that this is the age where you should actually already start thinking about what sort of leader you are, what kind of person you are. In terms of the first year, it couldn't have gone any better, to be honest. I think these boys did so fantastically well. I'm very, very proud of how they did the course and how much they achieved through it.
I had so much fun doing it as well. And we are in the third cohort now. We've also done a different development. So, you know, we really changed it, three different iterations of the content. For me, when you asked, what got me very excited is the privilege that Paul and Andreas, you and your colleagues, your classmates have, because this, you get phenomenal education that you might not get elsewhere in a public system. And certainly the path can be quite clear and straightforward for you, but at the same time, there's immense pressure as well to perform, to deliver, to do well. And I felt that there is an opportunity here to infuse this whole leadership conversation with ethics. So what does it really mean to be an ethical leader? And my big hope is twofold. One, that in 15 or 20 years, when you look for a coach, you work with this coach on what's next for me, what's exciting, how can I immerse myself more in my dreams and you know, develop things that I'm really good at, as opposed to many of the clients that I have in my coaching practice, which usually come with some sort of a compensation addiction issue or a burnout or a real exhaustion, big regrets and question marks about their careers and their and the way they allocated their time. So there was a real personal motivation for me to meet all of you and to work with you. And I'm just going to give us a simple definition of ethical leadership, because we call this program Designing Your Life as an Ethical Leader. This was always something that was essential for me. And I actually asked GPT-4, uploaded our documents, and I said, based on these documents, could you just do a very simple definition? So I'm just going to read that. Yeah. So GPT-4 says, ethical leadership means leading in a way that is fair and honest. It's about making choices that are good for everyone, not just yourself. Ethical leaders treat people with respect and dignity, and they make sure their actions are right and kind. They create a trusting and open environment where everyone is encouraged to act ethically too. This kind of leadership is not just about following rules, but about caring for the well-being of others and the community. And I think this is quite a spot on definition. It's very much in line with the experiences that we wanted to create for you. And so I would just like to start by talking about your experience in this program, because it started with a field day. I think there were 50 or so of you. You had to apply for this program. You had to state a reason why you apply for it. And then we actually you know, led you through a 5-month program around us. Maybe just looking back at it, we start from just a bit of a revision. What would you say were your biggest insights that you gained in going through this program? Who would like to go first? I'm just checking. Paul, fantastic. Why don't you start us off?
So in terms of the insights I took away from the program, I think there was a shift in mentality, which at the beginning I was quite against. I remember the first session tried to take us through certain things which certain people didn't want to talk about. And so by certain people, I mean myself, but it caused me to think. And out of that, I learned, I remember, I have it here. I wrote down one of the TED Talks you showed us, which has stuck with me, called The Happy Secret to Better Work. And it talks about the shift in mentality about defining success and happiness in order to boost your productivity and your capabilities and competency. Yeah. So that's it from me. Maybe Andreas can add.
What really stuck out to me throughout the whole process was, you know, the workshops were incredibly insightful, but what stuck out to me most was the field day. You gave us an activity where we had to basically, you know, pick up a long pole off the floor with just our fingers, and we had to work as a group. And unfortunately for us, it was, you know, quite difficult at the start, and we managed to fail quite a few times until eventually what it took us like 10 or so minutes to realize is that we needed a single person designating orders. And it was the whole concept, you know, like obviously you'd think that with such a simple task that would have been sorted out immediately, but everyone was kind of yelling at each other. There was no real structure to the order of the group. And so, and you know, once someone was decided as the leader, telling someone to stop lifting their fingers or to raise their fingers and examining the situation from outside, you know, we did it immediately. And it kind of made us, you know, I can't speak for the others, but for myself, it kind of made me realize how valuable having a person giving out orders and helping your group is. It helps to have someone involved in the mix, you know, doing tasks along with you. But in a lot of situations, it's actually more important to have someone ordering you around.
Yeah, I think you mentioned two really important items here. One is this self-awareness and confronting maybe also uncomfortable statements, I would say, because you don't need to take a statement, right? And then the other thing is how important it is to be coordinated in how we engage with one another, but also whoever is coordinating needs people who follow. So I love this activity that you just described, Andreas, because it's really a it seems like such an easy, simple thing to do, and at the same time it's so telling about how we deliver any piece of work with others and what can get in the way in our tone, in the way we talk to one another, in the excitement, even with the best intentions of achieving the same goal, we still might not get there. And so I think it just surfaces very well what gets in the way of it. I think for me, from the beginning, I remember there was a point in time in which I had to make a decision. And it was the first workshop, Paul. And I remember the situation very well because you left for lunch and we had gone through success and what does success mean. And we had talked about your core values. And if you remember, what were you allowed, you know, what are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? What are you living certain qualities in your life or not at all? And I realized that such a definition of what success should look like among you that is very, in a very, for me, in a very traditional way. It's exactly the way that I built my career too. It's about delivering, optimizing yourself, performing in exam situations, getting good grades to get into the best schools, then, you know, finish the studies, then get a well-paying job, make a lot of money. So there was just so much in that I felt that there's so much pressure, and I thought, wow, there are not many alternative life scenarios. And I remember that I was quite outspoken about that, but also because I was deeply touched about it. I think it's always great to have different alternatives about how you could live your life and to think broadly. And I remember there was one activity. I don't know if you recall, but we used the book Designing Your Life. It's a Stanford University course that was turned into a book. And I asked you to craft three different life scenarios, I think I said. And you had to send one of them to me as a homework. And I can't remember who it was, but someone in your cohort said, but miss, is it okay if I craft a life scenario in which I don't go to uni? And I thought, yeah, actually, that's exactly what this is supposed to be. So in terms of just for your personal roadmap or your personal life or some insights, is there something that you said, oh, I've really gained more self-awareness in this field, or I shifted my thinking? Is there something that you would recall in sort of this internal process?
For me, back again to the where you said setting your expectations. Well, okay, so I want to get good grades in school. Okay, well now I want to get even better grades in school. I want to make it to the first team football. Okay, well now I want to be captain of the first team football. And you keep on setting your expectations higher and higher. For some people that's great, it works fine. For others it doesn't, it's not as effective. Purely due to the fact that you never have time to appreciate what you've done And so simply by redefining your definition of success and maybe somewhat happiness, you can change the way you view reality and the way you approach stressful scenarios, and instead turn them into an opportunity, maybe, which is what I learned quite slowly, but I got there in the end.
So cool. Thank you for sharing, Rob. What about you, Andreas? Do you have any insights?
I think in this day and age, life has become increasingly less traditional, not just in terms of your career path, but also just in general, societal views and customs. So I think it's incredibly important now to acknowledge and actually encourage these non-conventional ways of going about your life. Because, you know, university is a great stepping stone, but it's not the only stepping stone. And there are many ways you can succeed in life. And there are plenty of people who didn't go to university in the past when these paths were traditional, and they still succeeded plenty.
Yeah, that's true. We talked about Steve Jobs as an example, right? Finish schooling, and there's plenty of examples. Is there something that you would offer other teenagers who are around about the same age, or maybe other colleagues from your school that you learned in this program? Because I know that you've been spreading the word. I thank you very much for that. We had a lot of applications for cohort 2 and a lot of people interested for cohort 4. We are right now in cohort 3. So what piece of advice would you give, or insight would you share?
Andreas, I'll let you go first. I took first turn on the other two.
Sorry, just to clarify, do you mean advice in which sense?
I think just in general. You can of course link it to the program, right, to designing your life, or the ethical leadership piece. You could take it to why to apply, or why such a program is helpful. But it could be anything else as well. It could be, if I could travel back in time and I would talk to my younger self, here's maybe something I would want to tell him, or here is something that I would like to share with others in my age. So a super easy question, Andreas, because it's incredibly broad.
Yeah.
You can take it wherever you want to, which is never easy, I know.
I think one thing you mentioned is why to apply. And I think that's incredibly important as we are currently in sixth form, because I would encourage people to apply to not just this program, but any that they might deem insightful or helpful to them. Because one, yes, we are, growing into adult men, and we're going off to university, but we're still very young and very impressionable. And I think to get involved in as many things as you possibly can helps you to further develop yourself and, just become who you want to be. And I think it's just important to expose yourself to any and everything as a young person.
Yeah, I think I agree with Andreas. Do anything and everything you can while we're at this young age still, because there's literally there's nothing bad which can come out of it. There's so much to learn. It's not necessarily a view that you straight away agree with, but it's an interesting one to at least understand. And so there's literally no harm in doing it. And for many people, there's certainly a lot to gain from it.
And Paul, as a head boy now, how are you leading in this role? I'm quite curious. How are you positioning yourself, setting yourself up, negotiating the things you want to negotiate, everything you have to do in this role?
So firstly, it's quite easy because it's 25 of us. We all get on extremely well. We spend way too much time together every day to a point where we all have similar ideas, and we know that for the good of the group, we will achieve we want to achieve the same objectives. So it's not much of a job, but maybe certain organizational things which I've had to do But again, I can't specific examples don't come to mind. More so, it's just, I guess I've done certain things to help organizationally for events and help the prefect team be of aid to the school and provide essentially what is a service to the school. But beyond that, it's not much being a leader or being above the rest, because at the end of the day, we're all very good friends. We get on very well. And it's a lot of fun for all of us to get involved in.
I love the humbleness of your response.
No, he's a very good leader, I think.
Yeah, this is great that you say that, because Andreas, I wanted to ask you, so how does Paul lead? What does make him a good leader? What do you say?
I think a major issue that could, you know, if Paul wasn't such a good leader, that could be prominent is when we're all the same age, we're all friends. And unfortunately, Paul is now in a position of, like, you know, he's the head boy. He's the guy. So unfortunately, sometimes this means that he's vulnerable to other, like, to us, as, because he's our friend, because he's a person that we know and we interact with all the time. And so he managed to rise above that, and he manages to speak, you know, with confidence and authority. And now that helps us see him a lot separately. Instead of just being our friend, he's now our head boy. He's now someone we can, you know, look at and think, right, that's what we do. That's how we do it. And I think that's not just for us. It's for everybody in school. It's for the younger kids, either year sevens to the year 10s and 11s in the middle, and in the sixth form as well. So as a prefect, you set a role model, yes. But as the head boy, you set the role model for, you know, not just, you know, the little kids on the street, but the school. You know, everyone sees you in your very publicized position. And I think he deals with it very well.
Oh, Paul. How is it to hear that?
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely a little flattering. but I guess one of the points you could say is by setting the example in certain things. Again, I'm not just a head boy to our prefect team. I guess you could say I'm a head boy to the whole school. And so the main objective is setting a standard for the younger kids to look up to, I guess you could say. Very flattering to hear all of that from someone who I'm very good friends with.
He means a lot to me. He means a lot.
Yeah, and from Miss Holmes too. So mind you, this is like a sandwich. I think what I find fascinating about this role is that, of course, you're still one of them. And at the same time, you're authorized with some privilege and some status, and to manage that role very well, I think, is really difficult. At least I love the Harry Potter books. And I would say that in the books, you can see how tough it is to be, you know, a good prefect or a good head boy. So I have my deep respect for navigating that. I think that that's really a challenging position. And to set yourself up well there is quite an achievement.
Just to add from the perspective of the from the teaching position, we had a number of head boys so far, and it is fascinating to observe how different they were in their leadership, the leadership style, how they got things done. And one thing that definitely applies to Paul, but also was very much applied to our previous head boy, was the authenticity in how they do things. And I think that gives them natural authority, because we all know that nobody has to do what you say just because you are in a certain position, right? So even as a teacher, I mean, just because I'm the teacher, I can't expect people to automatically follow me. There has to be a process of convincing people it's the right thing to do. And I think, Paul, you're very good at setting the standard, like you said, like doing things a certain way. And I think you have humbly not mentioned all the background work that goes on. So when you're spending time with your friends, you do set standards all the time, right? So when you step up and want something, then people want to do these things to complete the task the teacher asked for, but also to really for you.
Thank you very much.
So I think we can learn a lot from your leadership, and we can learn a lot from how you showed up in this program as well. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed because in cohort one, you really were required to spend free time and to make it happen. And I remember one of your mates, the classmates, he actually came in from a long distance flight just the same day in the morning to be in the program. So there definitely was commitment and there was engagement. We did a number of different things. We worked with LEGO Serious Play, so we used LEGO in the sessions. We did vision boards. We used the Strength Finder assessment. Do you remember that? We tried to find
out. Yes, I remember. That was really interesting. I still have it saved on my computer. Understand each other's strengths and weaknesses. But it was also interesting because it went into detail about, for example, me and Vieri were both very competitive. But our definitions of competitive, if you looked into the detail of it, were extremely different. Vieri will compete for anything and everything for the sake of competing, whereas I'm getting more competitive about the things which I care about. And so it was quite interesting to understand the nuances in each other's character traits.
And we did some vision boarding. Do you remember that? What was that like? That was probably the most esoteric activity that we did in this whole 5 month journey, because it was about dreaming and manifesting your dreams and putting it on a board. What happened to your vision boards? Do they still exist? Does any of it come true?
What I think Ms. Palm still has them. Yeah, I mean, she might not, but they're in her classroom. But I think. In the first session, that whole vision board thing was super interesting because it kind of made you actually think about it. You know, everyone has a general idea. Okay, I want to become a doctor or a lawyer or a banker. I'm going to go to university to this degree to do that job. But the process of the vision board actually makes you think, okay, how am I going to plan this out? Which picture am I going to use? Do I really want to do this? Should I do that instead? So it was very helpful in providing insight about our future, which is like kind of weird to say because it is you wouldn't expect someone else's idea to give you, but it helped a lot.
I did one for the beginning of this year. I do one almost every year, not every year, but almost every year. And I use it a lot in my coaching practice as well with my clients. My big recommendation is as you start uni in a couple of months, do one for your university time and put on it whatever experiences you would like to have, how you want your life to be, you know, what you want to learn, role models that you could follow. I think it's a beautiful activity, but there is one rule that you need because you kind of, it's a way of really manifesting things in real life by using your subconscious process. So one recommendation that I would really have is don't leave it in the classroom. You need to see it every day. So mine actually is, in my apartment where I walk past every day. And I don't actively look at it, but somehow at the end of a year or at the end of the period, when I look at it, I'm always amazed by how much of it has come true or has manifested. So try it out. And this time, maybe just put it somewhere where you can see it every day, because you might be surprised. For me personally, whatever salary number I've ever put on it, it's always become true for example, or any revenue number. But also a lot of other fun things that I just didn't count on. Yeah, vision boarding, it's January. This might be something that you could use either now or you can use it before you start uni. I think it would help. I asked you earlier, what advice would you give to teenagers, to people who are your age? I would just love to hear your thoughts, your initial reaction or thoughts. What would you wish that our generation, Ms. Holmes and my generation, would do more of or differently? Maybe also in the way we engage with you, but also just in general. Do you have some thoughts or some suggestions that the listeners of this podcast, who are generally more my generation, that we could take away from our conversation with you?
I actually think that it's quite cool to have you act how you wish, because for us who are growing up, we've still got a lot of growing to do, but for us who are growing up, we understand different people, we see different people, an increasing number of people, and we have an increasing number of conversations with people who do different things, have different interests, and approach things differently. So it's interesting to see how you guys more specifically approach things as I've spent time with you guys, in comparison to maybe my parents, or again, a generation above, my grandparents, how they've approached things. So each generation might be slightly different and each individual is different. So it's quite interesting to have a lot of unique characters in one room, which is what our course was for 5 months. We had a lot of big personalities locked in one room for 8 hours on Saturday. And we sort of talk about our various views and approach leadership from different stances, which allowed us to develop our opinions in the way that we did.
Andreas, what do you think?
I agree with Paul. I think, you know, the whole approach to leadership thing is great. I think there are certain, not misconceptions, but different views on like the modernization of society. And I'm not saying it like, you know, in a negative way, but I think generations previous to us didn't have the access to the things we do now. And I think it's a massive blessing, but it's also a curse, because there are many negatives to it as well. And, you know, technology and social media can have a severe impact on someone's life. It can transform it for the positive, or, you know, negatively impact them. So I think there needs to be more like, there should be more embracing of the new aspects of society. But I also think there should be more awareness, because at the end of the day, you know, those people who come before us are much more experienced. We're still young, and while we think we know everything, we really don't. And it takes us, it takes lessons of life to learn that. So I think there can be a lot of advice passed on to people and a lot of caution spread, which would help a lot of younger people.
Thank you very much, Andreas. I think this is a great bridge, because with your cohort, we went for this model of, I believe it was 3 Saturdays, and then in between you had virtual workshops and a virtual keynote, also with a refugee from Afghanistan and elements like this. But for the second cohort, what we really wanted to do is to embed it more in line with the clubs culture that you have at school. So we started to do this every Friday for, I think, a term. And the second cohort had the task to also do a project around it, which you didn't have, a project around ethical leadership. And they decided to create a social media channel that actually has a lot of more followers than mine does. So very impressive in a very quick period of time. And they self-govern the content of it and they share it in their network. So I'm going to hand it over to Zeynep first. But if you have been following this, or, you know, if you got in touch with this project, it would be great, Andreas and Paul, if you could also share your thoughts and your insights. But maybe first, Zeynep, how did this come about, social media channel, ethics and leadership from Weatherby Boys? What was the background story here?
So it was within the seminar, we were talking about how to spread the word, because we wanted ethical leadership to become a movement. And people were talking about the video you showed, that the leader leads the first follower and then more followers and so on, until such time that you have to follow, otherwise you're not cool type of scenario. Social media seemed to offer itself up as a perfect tool. So it was fascinating for me, by the way. I could not imagine so many followers to come on board in such a small amount of time. But I guess that's the difference in technological understanding Andreas was talking about just now. We had two groups setting up different social media channels on Instagram, and they were tasked with creating the content, but also finding ways to get people on board and getting people to follow them. And
they managed to get hundreds of followers within weeks. So, I mean, I know I don't promote my channel, my private channel, all that much, but I have maybe 150 friends there. And that in I don't know how many years. It was great to watch that people were so behind it. And also, once this was going on, there was a lot more talk within the younger years about ethical leadership. And they went to an assembly with the younger boys and talked about it there. So, yes, I think it was a great experience for them as well, because it's not easy public speaking, right? Or it's not easy to present yourself on a stage at any age, right? People are very scared of public appearances.
Yes.
And the younger you are, the more difficult it is, because there's very little to fall back on and very little experience. So I was very impressed how they put themselves forward, how they pushed themselves to do this uncomfortable thing and then get rewarded for it. That was really good to see.
Hello from the Weatherby Ethical Leadership team. It's me, Greg,
Javier, and Zach.
We just wanted to share our experiences of how we think the course went, what we enjoyed, and what we've taken from it now that it's over.
We came about this as an option on one of our Friday club activities. Ethical leadership was a topic that was relatively new to us and not heard of much about, and seemed like a different learning experience that could benefit us in the future. The lessons were set out differently, having us have a one-on-one approach, talking directly to the Magnolia Tree team, telling us about the subject directly and providing a focused experience. This taught us many unheard of problems that bad leadership can cause and how bad it can be for a business.
However, the course allowed us to make it applicable to our own life, day-to-day activities, and how we can improve ourselves mentally and physically. A part of our coursework was attempting to spread awareness of ethical leadership with an Instagram account. We would regularly make posts of famous examples of good leadership, such as Gandhi, Malala, and motivational quotes, which we would find either from sources or just online. We had assembled the following of 800 people who would sometimes reply to each of our posts, responding with their own experiences with ethical leadership, showing us that our account did make a difference and it did reach our target audience.
Moreover, we wanted to make ethical leadership a key part of the school's values by producing a speech for our Friday assemblies with the idea of starting a weekly award to be student voted Ethical Leader of the Week. Sadly, due to the tight schedule planned for the term, we didn't have the opportunity to perform it, but still, there are some important factors of public speaking and standing out to start a movement, which can be hard when being the only person trying to vouch for something new. We'd like to thank Magnolia Tree for giving us this opportunity. I couldn't recommend this more to my peers or kids of any year group for that matter.
Let's just do a bit of advertisement. What are the names of the channels?
It's called Weatherby Ethical Leadership, all one word.
Wow, it's a fantastic image.
I know. It really is great.
I think it's really impressive that this is what has happened. Now, in terms of the next steps and the next stages, I would say that in general, Weatherby is the only school that I'm aware of that really provides a program like this. You have just recently changed ownership, Zeynep.
Yeah.
So what's the survival rate of this program under the new ownership? And also, do you know of other schools who follow suit, who use the playbook maybe, or who are looking into something similar?
So yes, we do indeed have a new owner, Inspired Education. And it's a fantastic network of schools all over the world, independent schools all over the world. And it's a great fit because, especially for us with the ethical leadership program, because the leadership of the parent company is very much keen to educate the young people all around the world along the same lines. It hasn't been very long that we are in the same family of schools. So far, I had the opportunity to speak to them twice. And both times it was very well received. And there are plans to roll it out elsewhere. So what we will do hopefully is to firm up these plans and to decide how we can maybe invite some of the other careers leads or people from different schools, teachers, as well as senior students to join some of the Zoom calls that we have with your team, Sabina, just to introduce the program and just spread the movement within the network. But I think it's obvious that in every country where Inspired is present, and I suspect in every country where schools are present, there is a real need for young people to learn this sort of skill set. And some of them will be leaders in their own right and have great influence. And it's very important that they are able to make good decisions and lead ethically and do the right thing. But what's also very important for me is that my students can recognize when they are in an environment where there is no good leadership and no ethics. And it's not as easy as it sounds, right? Because I remember from my own youth, sometimes the lack of experience, you know, you think sometimes it has to be that harsh. It has to be like that because it's business. You know, you can't show any mercy and you have to be this person who you are normally not in your private life. And you may feel like you have to do things you don't really recognize yourself doing, but it doesn't have to be that way. And my hope is that our students who go through this program will recognize in an environment where they don't fit that way and leave. Because at the end of the day, no job, no title, no money in the world is worth wasting years of your life. You are far too valuable for that.
Thank you, Zeynep. And I really think that we as humanity are just at the cusp of a really big evolution, maybe even revolution. We certainly need to increase our awareness and tuneness. We have big challenges to tackle. And it's a bit unfair of my generation to put all the responsibility and the hope on your generation, Andreas and Paul. And still, working with you really gave me hope. And it was an incredibly joyful experience. And I know I also speak for my team, Livia and Holger, who are predominantly working with the next cohorts right now, and how much fun they have in creating the journey and implementing it. And I really appreciate the way you welcomed us, and especially myself, into your school and in a way into your curriculum. And for me, one of the biggest challenges was that I don't normally work with people that are of your age. And I was so incredibly nervous. I don't think I've ever been this nervous. No boardroom that I've ever walked into has made me so anxious and self-aware as the first time when I walked into Weatherby School when we did the first field day and even our first Saturday together, because I really wanted to make sure that we have a good rapport and that I can meet you on an eye-to-eye level and we can really have a deeper conversation than a lecturing or, how should I put it, a ceremony about how you should lead your life. Right. I don't think you need any of that. You are very well equipped. You're certainly a lot more equipped than I ever was at your age. But this is an age where if I read my old diaries from when I was 17, 16, 18, those were years when I moved a lot of deep thoughts as well. I had big questions about my life. I had big hopes, but I also was thinking deeply. And I was maybe even more connected with myself than I was for much of my more adult years. So I felt that being part of your journey was very precious. And I really would like to thank you for that. It was really an incredibly positive experience for me, but I really also felt very welcome. So thank you.
Thank you, Sabina.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm looking forward to your comments, to your thoughts. We're going to make sure that we link all the links and the videos we referenced in the description of the podcast. Zeynep, if anyone has any questions, I'm sure that they can reach out to you. So please connect with us and we will build the bridge to Zeynep Holmes at Weatherby Senior. So Zeynep, your last words.
This cohort, which Paul and Andreas are part of, is a very special one because it's the first year I joined the school, and many of them have joined the school in the same year. And that's how we met. And I think we all developed together. So I became a more experienced teacher, and they have become, so they were children and now are young men. that was a great privilege to watch and be part of. So all the more wonderful to see that with this program, they've learned so much and have a skill set that I think a lot of people their age don't. And so rather than, you know, marketing the school per se, I think it's worth saying I would very much like to market the boys in it because they are exceptional people. And, you know, considering how scary and uncomfortable learning is, because it puts you outside your comfort zone and they do it day in, day out, that is a really special thing to do. In terms of, you know, advice, I think I just want to encourage everyone to show the courage to approach people, no matter how important or how old or, you know, how powerful they appear. And I think that we see that in this school quite a lot. The boys are good at that. When we invite speakers from companies, the boys are really good at striking up a conversation afterwards. But some of them are shy, and the younger ones are more shy than the older ones. So I think it's really in this program, hopefully it also came across that everybody just wants to work in an environment where they feel safe and they want to feel inspired and want to feel part of something special. And nobody who is that sort of leader would turn away a young person who approaches them and asks for advice, asks for help. So that's really the only marketing I want to do, just generally. And if anyone from Inspired Education is listening, do look into our program in more detail. Don't wait for us to come with the official rolled out version. Just listen to our podcast and contact me, and I'm very happy to give you all the details, because I think we have achieved quite exceptional things for this particular cohort where Andres and Paul have been. And we have very exceptional people who have now done great work in year 12 this year. And I'm sure that that will continue in Wetherby. And that will very much be the legacy of you guys, because you have started this. And I think a lot of the current year 12s have joined because of you and the others who have done the program. So thank you very much for that, guys.
So in terms of the course itself that we did, it's definitely an opportunity that I'd recommend to anyone who has access to it. It allowed me to expand my mindset and view things from various different standpoints and adjust my views on a lot of different things that I do when it comes to dealing with stress and exams, setting goals, and in terms of judging my happiness. All of that has helped quite a lot through various different things which we've done. I recommend the TED Talk, which I still have written down to this day, The Happy Secret to Better Work by Sean Aker. That one stuck with me. If there's one thing I recommend coming out of that course, it's that TED Talk. But in terms of this podcast, the podcast, great fun, my first podcast, but also very interesting to revisit certain things which we did with Andreas, and thank you very much for listening.
To add to that, I think as advice to, you know, anyone considering this, I think it was amazing. Like Paul said, you know, all the insight it gave you into how to progress and develop yourself as a person, all the vulnerability it helped show with the TED Talk and the emotions with the, you know, and how, you know, changing your mindset and emotions helps just transform you. And I think in general, the potential that you can show for your future just by pushing yourself to, you know, actively participate in things like this and go out there. And like Ms. Holmes said, approach anyone you think could be helpful or could be insightful and useful, not just if they're, you know, a big shot CEO, but also the random person on the street, but like, and stuff like that. And I think put yourself out there when it comes to jobs, when it comes to friends, when it comes to colleagues, be your own person, be a leader, which is what the workshop's all about. So I guess I'm saying do the workshop.
Thank you, Daniel.